today. Amen.
Amen.
We come today on December 17th, and we want to look at some scriptures today. We're going to start, I'm going to ask you to turn with me first to Luke chapter 1. And we're going to look at some scriptures on this morning. Let the Lord speak to us. Let the Lord encourage us. Let the Lord strengthen us. Let the faith that comes by hearing the word of God come into our hearts. And then walk out the faith in our lives. Amen.
Amen.
Faith is not something that we simply collect. Right? That we want to have it. We want to use it. Amen.
Amen.
We're believing that as we go forward today, as we hear the word of God, that faith is going to come as he promised. And when it comes, we're going to release it so that we can walk in the promises of God. Amen. But we're going to be in Luke chapter 1 today. And we're going to start at verse number 5. Before we begin reading, we're going to pray. Let's just pray the blessing of God in abundance. I don't want a little bit of blessing today. In fact, I don't want a little bit of blessing anytime. I want abundant blessing.
Amen.
Because I believe God wants to bless me so much that it's like just more than enough, right? That I just have, you know, my stuff is bursting out.
Amen.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
God says he overflows the cups, that our batch will be bursting forth with new wine. Amen. So I want all of that. I want the abundant blessing. How about you? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It says that he has come that we might have life and that more abundantly. That we might have and enjoy life in abundance to the full till it overflows.
Amen.
Amen. That's what it says in the Amplified, John 10:10. To the full till it overflows. Amen. So I'm looking for a full blessing that overflows. Amen.
Amen.
Not only for me, but for you too. Amen. Praise God. So let's pray today that God blesses us in such a way through his word and by his spirit. And then we'll go right into Luke chapter 1. Father, we thank you right now. We bless you, Lord. Hallelujah for your generous love towards us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And Father, we thank you for the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gift of salvation given unto us from heaven. And Father God, we bless you right now for the word of God, the word that you're about to speak unto us. Father, we believe that from eternity past, you saw this day. You saw that we would be sitting here, that we would be gathered here. And Father God, you had a word for us back then, which was to be shared on this day. And so Father, we feel excited, oh God. Hallelujah for what you're about to speak unto us. Words of life, hope, encouragement, and faith. Words of revelation, oh God. Words, oh God, that will transform us in the name of Jesus. So, Father God, right now we put aside everything and we put our hearts, our minds, and our focus totally on you.
Yes,
speak, Lord, thy servants heareth. And we thank you, God, for a listening ear, a receptive heart, and feet that are quick to walk in the revealed will of God. Father, we bless you right now. That as we receive this word, we shall be transformed. Father God, bless everyone now with a listening ear. And Father God, just give me an obedient spirit to do what thus saith the Lord, that you may be glorified and your people are edified. In Jesus' great name, amen.
Amen.
And amen. Amen. We're going to read today. Amen. Let me share this. I was away again this week, and praise God for it. God's keeping power, amen. Not only for me, but for Sister Fennell too, amen. God keeps us.
Amen.
Just as he keeps you. And so I was away on this weekend, and I was really prompted by the Holy Spirit while I was away to read what I'm going to call Christmas verses. They're not Christmas verses, they're Bible verses, but they're verses that are often read during Christmas time. Mm. And the Holy Spirit says, just read them. And that's like I started reading certain ones and everything, and we're going to read some of them today. And in the reading of them, God was blessing me with several what I call presents from heaven. Amen. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. Amen. Is, Christmas gifts from heaven. That's our title, amen. Christmas gifts from heaven. Because as I read this, amen, there were certain things that I just felt like were presents, amen, that God was giving me and giving us by extension in verses that were familiar. So I felt like, you know, okay, I'm reading at the direction of the Holy Spirit verses that I've read, you've read, we've read plenty of times. And yet in the reading of it, you know, it was like finding a gift under the tree, right? Because God was sharing certain things that spoke to me, and I'm praying and believing will speak to you.
Amen.
In the same way, amen? And so let's look at some of these Christmas gifts from heaven. And we're going to start in Luke chapter 1, and let's look at verse number 5. And we're going to read until the Holy Spirit stops us, and then hear and read some more. Amen? But in verse number 5 of Luke chapter 1, this is the birth of John the Baptist that was foretold by Luke. And it says, "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years." That's just a kind way of saying that they were old.
Amen.
Verse 8, "And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went to the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel of the Lord said, Fear not, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. But he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit of the power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, or mute, or silenced, amen, and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Amen. We're going to stop there, amen. So this is familiar, right? Zechariah, in the temple, he's fulfilling his course as the priest, burning incense, and he gets visited by an angel from God, the angel Gabriel. And Gabriel comes with some good news. And Gabriel says to him, your prayer has been heard. And we learn some things about Zechariah from the scripture, in addition to the fact that he and his wife were well stricken in years, that they were very old. The scriptures tell us that both he and his wife were both righteous before God. Both he and his wife were walking in the commandments of God. And both he and his wife are described as being blameless before God. And we also learn that Zechariah had been praying. And he had prayed, he's old, and yet he's praying that his wife would bear him a son. That says to me that Zechariah had a deep kind of faith. Because if he's already very old and his wife is very old, don't you think you need to leave off praying that your wife gets pregnant? Yeah. But he didn't. Mm-hmm. That just says to me that he has some kind of faith.
Yes.
Because he's yet praying that his wife, who she's old, he's old, and yet he's still praying for a son. So here's this righteous man. Here's this obedient man. Here's this blameless man. Here's this faith-filled man who's faithfully serving in the temple of God, and he gets visited by an angel. And the angel tells him, your prayers have been heard, your wife is going to bear a son, and then starts telling him about how great his son is going to be. And Zechariah's response is, how do I know this is going to happen? Mm-hmm. Which, when you think about it, may not be such an odd question. Right? You may want to know. You ever want to know how God's going to do something? Have you ever had God speak quietly to your spirit about something, and you immediately want to know how that was going to happen? Mm-hmm. You wanted to know the who, what, where, when, and hows. You wanted to know, okay, Lord, but how? Mm-hmm. But when? Mm-hmm. Right? You know, he told you this, but you wanted to get to the conclusion. You wanted to know other stuff. So a lot of ways we're like Zechariah. So his question is not necessarily that odd. But yet the angel Gabriel apparently and evidently was displeased with it and told him, you know what? You're not going to say another word until this comes to pass. And is it because he asked a question? I thought about that because we know that if we keep reading in Luke, and if we jump down to verse 26, that the same angel Gabriel came to Mary and told her some great things. Mm-hmm. And Mary had a question too.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But the angel didn't respond to Mary and her question the way he responded to Zechariah and his question. Mm-hmm. Why not? Let's look at it. Verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, How shall this be, seeing that I know not a man? And the angel said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son of her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible.
Amen.
And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. So, Mary asked a question too. How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And Gabriel didn't shut her down. Didn't say to her, you know what? Keep quiet. You're not going to say anything until the child is born. That's what he said to Zechariah. But didn't say that to Mary. Now, I've often concluded, and maybe we often concluded together or alone, that it must have been something in the way Zechariah asked. It must have been something in the fact that Zechariah was clear. Zechariah didn't believe him because the angel Gabriel and said, You didn't believe my words, so now you're going to keep quiet. Mm-hmm. But Mary asked a question too. And if questions is evidence of you doubting or having some uncertainty about what is spoken, then why didn't Gabriel shut down Mary?
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
And it says after Mary spoke, the angel just left her. And I believe that the answer to this, and this is where we find our Christmas gift, is found in both verses 12 and in verse number 29. And let's look at verse 12 first. Watch this. The angel appears on the right side of the altar to Zechariah, and it says in verse 12, and when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. And the angel said, fear not. Let's go to verse 29. The angel comes to Mary and says to her, you know, hail, you that are highly favored, blessed among women. Verse 29, and when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Mm-hmm. And see, we see certain things here, right, in both verse 12 and verse 29, that both Zechariah and Mary were troubled, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
Zechariah was troubled when he saw the angel. Mary was troubled at what he said to her when she saw him. Mm-hmm. But the key is what happened after they were troubled. Verse 12 says, Zechariah, when he saw the angel, he was troubled and fear fell upon him.
Yes.
In verse 29, it says, she saw the angel, she was troubled and cast in her mind what manner of salutation it should be. Zechariah was troubled and then became fearful. Mary was troubled and then started considering what was being said to her. And it's that difference that leads to the difference in the way the angel dealt with them. Because we need to understand something. This is what God is giving to us, and just really making it so, hopefully, is just making it come alive in our heart. Is that this? We can be troubled. And I know Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid, right? Didn't Jesus say that? Mm-hmm. Let not your heart be troubled. And so, you know, sanctimonious Sam will say to us, well, you shouldn't be troubled. Because God said, don't be troubled, you shouldn't be troubled. So that's the problem right there. Okay, sanctimonious Sam, go over into the corner. You get everything right. I just want to talk to some real people, amen? Real people who know that that is what the Word says. But we live in a real body with real problems. And we understand something, right? That all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And sometimes we fall short of the glory. Sometimes, yes, we know it says, let not your heart be troubled. But sometimes we fall short of doing that. While sanctimonious Sam may always make it, go over into the corner. Because nobody's talking to you. I'm talking to folk who need Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And who know and say, sometimes I miss it. Sometimes I fall short. Sometimes I don't do what I know I'm
Amen.
Supposed to do. Can anybody relate to that?
Amen.
Sometimes I don't do what I'm supposed to do. And yes,
Amen.
Jesus told me, let not my heart be troubled. But if I'm honest before God and man, I will admit that there are times that I'm troubled. And in fact, if you're honest, you may be troubled on this very morning. That something could be troubling you right now. In the middle of the Christmas season,
yeah.
with lights and presents and all these other things, that you could be walking around with some trouble in your heart right now.
Amen.
And God knows that.
Yes.
Listen, He knows that just because Christmas comes doesn't mean trouble goes away. Sometimes trouble comes because Christmas comes. And so here, right, both Mary and Zechariah were troubled. But the scripture tells us that Zechariah was troubled, and then it says, and in addition to his trouble, fear fell upon him.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Mary didn't stumble into fear. She was troubled, but she didn't go into fear.
Wow.
She started considering what the angel was saying. She started considering what God was saying through the angel. Mm. So isn't that something? See, but you say, what's the difference? Because here's the thing. Fear cancels out faith.
Yes.
You and I can't be fearful and faithful at the same time. We just can't. Mm-hmm. And the devil wants, that's why he's always looking to instill fear in our hearts. He wants you to be fearful of how your bills are going to be paid. He wants you to be fearful about how your kids are going to go to school. He wants you to be fearful of whether or not you're ever going to get married, or ever whether or not you're ever going to graduate from school. He wants you to be fearful of if your business is going to work or if your ministry is going to take off. He wants you to be fearful whether you're going to arrive safely from here to there. He wants you to be fearful of things great and small, because he knows that you, if he can get you and I to be fearful, that fear will cancel out our faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. You see how displeased the angel was with Zechariah? Because fear entered in, and when fear entered in, faith went out. And that's why he said, you don't believe what I'm saying. Because you can't believe me out of a fearful heart.
That's right.
And so what God is saying to us is, look at the difference. Both Mary and Zechariah were troubled, and God says, I know there's going to be some times you're going to be troubled. I told you, don't be troubled. Don't allow yourself to be troubled, but I know sometimes you're going to be troubled. But don't let trouble lead you to fear.
Amen.
Because if trouble leads you and me to fear, then the next thing you know, our faith goes out, and it's going to be impossible for us to believe God. Now someone said, okay, it's easy for you to say, preacher, because, okay, don't let it lead you to fear. But the word also said, don't let me be troubled. And I ain't do too good at that. So how can I keep myself from letting trouble lead me to fear? We got to go back to the word of God. And here's the thing about the trouble. When you and I find ourselves in trouble, we need to understand something. God is right there with us.
Amen.
Right? God is right there with
Amen.
Us. Because see, Psalm 46 and 1 said that God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. So when we find ourselves in trouble, we need to remind ourselves, that's okay, God is still with me.
Amen.
And see, that can comfort us. Even just that acknowledge, God is still with me.
Amen.
And he's a very present help in trouble. Don't try to act like you're not troubled.
Amen.
Don't try to act like that bill that came out of the blue and you're looking at your bank book and it doesn't matter. Don't act like that doesn't trouble you.
Amen.
God is not calling on us to be phony. He's calling us to be faithful.
Yeah.
Right? So I can look at it and go, man, this thing is troubling me. You ever been troubled by stuff? Your sleep ever been troubled? Your day ever been troubled?
Yes.
Right? Because things are going in a way that you didn't want them to go, and it's just troubling you. But here's the thing. Fine. Sometimes we can be troubled, but if we remember that God's with us in trouble, then it will keep us from getting into fear. Because now we're bringing God into the situation, and God is our peace. And so we can maintain the peace even though there's some things in our lives that may be trying to trouble us. And the devil's not satisfied with just troubling you. He wants to bring you into fear. Because he knows bringing you into fear is going to cancel out your faith. Psalm 91 and 15. I love the verse because I play around with that verse sometimes. And I don't know if I preached a message on it or a department message where the message was, God's in trouble, right? And not like, ooh, God's in trouble. Not like that kind of trouble. Remember how I used to do it when I was a kid? Ooh, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Used to like kind of sing, ooh, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
When I say God's in trouble, I'm not saying it in that kind of a sense. But Psalm 91 and 15, God says, I will be with you in trouble. So watch this. If I'm in trouble, I'm okay. Guess what? Because God's in trouble too.
Amen.
And he promised that he'll be with me in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So you and I, listen, we're going to walk this life, and there are going to be times where life's going to come that's going to trouble us, but God is with us in trouble. Amen. God is with us. He's not leaving us because we're in trouble. People do that all the time. Oh, how many people have had other folk leave them the minute you get in trouble?
Yeah.
They leave you the minute. You know, my wife and I, for the last couple of years, we've been watching Leave It to Beaver. And that Larry Mondello, Gilbert, Richard, all of Lena DeBeaver's friends, they always get Beaver in trouble. Beaver knows he's not supposed to do something. And Larry Mondello said, oh, you're just being chicken. I'm not a chicken. I'll do it. And then he'll do it, and he'll get in trouble. And the minute he gets in trouble, Larry Mondello will go home. I got to go home.
Yep.
Because the minute you get in trouble, people leave you, Jack.
Yep.
I've had a whole lot of people leave me when I'm in trouble.
Amen.
I get into a fix, people act like they don't know me. Don't return phone call, no text messages, no nothing.
Amen.
You all up in my house, eat my food when things were well, but now I'm in trouble, you don't know me.
Wow.
But God's not like that. God said, I'll be with you in the trouble. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hey, listen, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I'm going to throw you in the fire, but if you look real closely, there'll be someone walking in the fire with you.
Amen.
God said, I will be with you in the fire.
Amen.
I'll be with you in the flood. I'll be with you in the trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And so Zechariah, he allowed the trouble to pull him into fear. But Mary instead didn't let the trouble get her fearful. She then started to ponder and to consider and to meditate and to think about. And I believe it was that meditation and that thinking about what God was saying that really was just simply hearing the word of God. And we know what happens when you hear the word of God, right?
Mm-hmm.
Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why at the end of her passage, she says, be it unto me according to the Lord. Because see, now she's walking in faith because she's considering what God is saying.
Yes.
Instead of the trouble that is in her life.
Amen.
Peter walked on water, amen, when Jesus said, come out of the boat. And the scripture said when he looked at the winds and the waves all around him, that he was afraid. That's why he sunk. See, fear takes you down, amen? And so if the devil wants to take your trouble, magnify that trouble, get you pondering nothing but your trouble, so you can then cross over into fear and you can sink. You can, he can take you out and take you down. The devil is a liar, amen.
Yeah.
Even if trouble comes into my life or in my heart, amen, we're going to take a stand. I'm not going to fear.
Amen.
Amen. Why? Because God is with me in trouble. And so God showed this to me when I was reading this, amen, and just made me realize, amen, that listen, I'm not going to get to the point where I'm going to act as if things don't bother me. Sometimes things bother me. Sometimes things bother you. Sometimes you get concerned about some things.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. Just don't let those things bring you into fear.
Amen.
And just be reminded, even though I'm in this mess and maybe I'm in some trouble and I'm in a little bit of a tight spot, God's with me in this too. Amen?
Amen.
And if nobody else is with me, as Paul said, when I got into my stuff, no man stood with me. Yeah, some men may not stay with you. Some women may not stay with you. But God promises he's always going to be there. Amen?
Amen.
And so if God's going to be with me in my trouble, I can rest in my trouble. And before long, God will get me out of trouble.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
But God ain't going to leave you in trouble. So isn't it something that Mary went from being troubled to being liberated where she can lift her hands and say, be it unto me according to your word. And Zechariah wallowed in his trouble, let him take it over to fear. And God separated him from the promise. Isn't that something? See, fear will separate you from the promise. Oh, okay. Guess what? You're still going to have a son. But you know what? I'm going to shut you up so that you can be separated from the promise. Because see, your wife is old. And see, she's going to get pregnant. And she's going to have a son. But I don't need you, you fearful, doubtful, unbelieving man, to be speaking stuff of doubt into our hearts. So guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to shut your mouth. During her pregnancy and until she gives birth to the son, because I can't have you, I got to separate you from the promise. Don't let fear separate you from the promises of God. That's what the devil wants, to have fear separate us from the promises of God. Because faith brings us to the promise, fear separates us from the promise. So listen, you may be in trouble, your heart may be troubled this holiday season, this Christmas season, you may be going through some things that have been on you for a long time. But know that God is with you. Amen?
Amen.
God is with you. And let that comfort your heart. Let that give you some strength. Amen? And let it take you to a place of faith instead of fear. Amen?
Amen.
Because your faith will bring you to God's promise. Amen. So that's one Christmas scripture, amen, that we read, amen, and that we read from time to time. I want to look at another one. We're just going to look at three today, but I'm going to look at another one real quickly. This is Matthew chapter 1. I praise God for the scriptures, because some of these scriptures just inspire us. See, today, I believe something. God bless you. I believe something is going on today, and that is this, that we're being blessed twice. Because, you know, it's good to read these scriptures about God's promise of his son and the birth of his son. Right? That's what Christmas is about, right? I don't know if Charlie Brown Christmas will come on. But no, we can watch things. I gotta get to the, I gotta come into the 21st century because I gotta come into the 21st century and you too, sister, now I don't know what you're laughing at. Because I gotta come into the 21st century and get rid of cable.
No. So expensive. I need to get rid of it too.
See?
It's crazy.
Yeah, we gotta get rid of it. No. Don't worry, daughter. There's other ways to watch television.
So expensive.
That's the thing. And get into the other ways to watch TV. That's not as expensive. See, I was about to say have Charlie Brown Christmas come on. But see, when you watch a TV another way, you don't need to be concerned when it comes on because you control it. Right? I mean, we control it to a certain degree now, but still. It's too much money.
Mm-hmm.
But you remember Charlie Brown Christmas line is like asking if people knew what Christmas was really all about. Because
mm-hmm.
Christmas is really all about what? It's about the birth of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. We know that. So we read these scriptures. To just have those scriptures being read into our heart, I think it blesses us as it reminds us of the birth of Christ. Amen. And let's look at another one in Matthew chapter 1 where it talks about the birth of Jesus. We're going to look at verse 18, read down, I think, the verse 25 to the end of the chapter. It says, now the birth of Jesus was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, glory to God, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Glory to God. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth a firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Amen. Yes, praise God, how God, you know, through his angel, amen, when he told Zechariah about John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ, told Mary about how she was going to conceive and bring forth, amen, the Son of the Highest. And now the angel comes and visits Joseph and tells him, no, you don't understand. Your wife is going to give birth to the Savior of the world. Going to give birth to a son. You're going to call his name Jesus. He's going to save the people from their sins. And he's going to be Emmanuel, God with you. Amen.
Amen.
And this is scriptures we read at Christmas often. And so, God had me reading this scripture, and there was something that jumped off the page at me. And it simply is this. You see how it says in verse number 19 that Joseph, right, he's engaged to Mary. They're engaged, right? And you know, everybody knows publicly that they're engaged. But this is at a time, right, that you didn't consummate your marriage until you were married.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, but something happened along the way. God had a plan for this little handmaiden, this virgin girl, and said, you are going to be the one who gives birth to the Savior of the world.
Yes.
I just think about that sometimes. Mary was a normal person. And God chose her for something that can only have been done once through one person. Right? He ain't going to pick multiple women.
Right?
It's just one. And he picked Mary.
Yeah.
Hey, I think about that from time to time because I think to myself things like this. Why can't God pick me to do something that's never been done in the world before? You ever think about that? He picked Mary.
Yeah.
Why can't God pick you to do something in this earth, in this world, that has never been done before and will never be done again?
Amen.
See, that's how my mind thinks. I don't put no limits on God. God can just meet me. I don't know what Mary's doing. She's sitting there. Yeah, man, she's knitting. I don't know what she's doing. And an angel came. And I believe that one of these days, I'm just going to be washing my car. I'm going to be washing the dishes. I'm going to be, you know, cleaning off a counter. I'm going to be doing something normal. And God's going to come and say something to me that says, I want you to do something that this world has never seen before. I believe that.
Amen.
That's how I think. I ain't leaving this earth until the greatness that God has for me gets done.
Amen.
But I'm ready to do it. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
How about you?
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. So, but Joseph's just a normal man. Mary's just a normal girl. And they're just having a normal engagement like everybody else. And then here comes God interrupting their life. The nerve of him. God interrupts your life. And God interrupts your life and say, I know you wanted, you know, you wanted that whole 2.5 kids, white picket fence thing, but that ain't how your life going to be. You going to be the parents of the Savior. I'm giving you my son to watch over. But here's the price that has to be paid. In a time when you don't get pregnant until after you're married, they got to tell the story of why Mary is starting to show. And here's the explanation. God did it. Right? God got her pregnant. And you can just hear the whole neighborhood going, okay. Aye. That's what you want to, you rolling with that? Aye. God got her pregnant. You hear what he said? God got her pregnant. Uh-huh. Yeah, okay. And you must think we crazy. God got her pregnant. So Joseph is thinking about all this and he realized, wait a minute, we were just going to have a normal marriage. And now here come this whole thing taking our life and turning it and bringing it in another totally different direction.
Mm-hmm.
And Joseph not prepared for this. So he's sitting there and he's thinking, and the Bible says he's minded to put away his wife. Now put away don't mean put away. It means he was going to break off the engagement.
Yes.
No Sopranos stuff going on over there, right? He was just going to put off the engagement. He was going to break the engagement. And he was going to do it secretly. Because he was, you know, he loved Mary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's minded to break off the engagement. But as he's minded to do that, that's what's on his mind. That's what he made up his mind to do. God visits him in a dream, and the angel speaks to him and says, don't do it, and tells him, because your wife is going to give birth to the Savior of the world. You're going to name his name Jesus, and he's going to save the world from this.
Mm-hmm.
And that just lets us know something. This is what God shared with me, and I want to share with you, is that it's okay for you and for me to make up our mind on something, to think on something, and to say, this is what I'm going to do. It's perfectly fine. God has given us intellect. God has given us the ability to make decisions. God has given us knowledge to a certain degree. And you know what? We should use all the things God gives us and make decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Be minded, if you will, like Joseph was. He was minded. But God said this to me, and it just really spoke to my heart. He said, but always leave room for me to be otherwise minded.
Yes.
In other words, I might be minded to do a thing. You might be minded to do a thing, but God might be of another mind.
Amen.
You understand what I mean? And so God said, fine, be minded, but always leave room for me to be otherwise minded.
Amen.
Right? Because you have made your decision to do a thing, but I may have on my mind for you to do something else.
Wow.
Right? And when that happens, you need to leave room to be otherwise minded.
Amen.
And I don't know how many times I have seen it. I've been a victim of it myself. I've made up my mind. I'm doing it. Right? And then there's some things that, how many of you know you can be sincere in your thinking and yet be sincerely wrong? Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You ever been there? Where you were sincere, you just knew that you knew. There have been times I just knew I read something until I went back and read it. And it didn't say that. There was this time I knew somebody said something until I went back and replayed it, and they didn't say it. But you couldn't have told me that that's not what they said, or that's not what I read. Until I went back and saw it, and I was wrong. And the same thing can happen to our plans. We can look through things, and we can think about things, and we can be so focused on our heart and our mind that this is what I should do. But how many of you know that God can have another mind? He can have another plan.
Amen.
Proverbs 19:21 says, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. God's purposes will stand, not our plans.
Amen.
Right? Our plans are not the be-all, end-all.
Amen.
You can make a plan, I can make a plan, and I can be minded to do something, but we have to allow God the room to speak to us to get us off the decision we were about to make.
Yes.
I think about Abraham, and this is something else, because God was the one that put a plan in Abraham's heart. Abraham had Isaac after all those years of not having a kid, and God comes to Isaac and to Abraham and says, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, to the mountain that I'm going to show you, and offer him there as a burnt offering to the Lord. God put that in his mind.
Yes.
And Abraham, which is one of the most, that's why he's the father of the faith, Abraham takes his son, goes to Mount Moriah, and is about to slay Isaac on the altar. Mm-hmm. And it said he had his knife raised up. He had his knife raised up, and he's about to plunge the knife into his son to sacrifice him. Mm-hmm. And God speaks from heaven and says, lay not your hand on the lad. Now, what if Abraham said, I already made up my mind. I'm doing this, especially because God told him. But if Abraham, the father of the faith, can leave room for God to speak to him something different when God spoke something to him in the first place, how much the more when it's just us making up our mind, we need to leave room for God. God, he about to plunge the knife, and God says, lay not your hand on the lad, and Abraham stopped what he was about to do. And see, God let him know, listen, yeah, because God wasn't after, he wasn't after his son. He was after Abraham's heart. Mm-hmm. And once God showed, Abraham showed him that, I'll do whatever you say, Lord, he said, okay. But the point for us is this, it's not about that, because praise God, I hope God doesn't ever ask me to do something like that. But if I make up my mind to do something, just like you and I, we make decisions throughout our entire day, multiple decisions all the time. You decide how you're going to spend your money, how you're not going to spend your money. You decide where you're going, you decide when you're going. You decide what you're going to watch, what you're going to wear. We make decisions all the time. But we got to leave room for God, even after we made up our mind, for him to be otherwise minded and give us something else to do. How many of you know that God's ways are not our ways, and neither are our thoughts His thoughts? His ways are superior to ours. His thoughts are superior to ours. And so if you and I make up our mind, we still need to leave some room for God to speak. Our mind cannot be trap doors where once we've decided a thing, that's it, it's over. Because if that happens, we can get in trouble, amen? Because now we are operating on the inferior instead of the greater. I'd rather go in another direction because God is speaking to me than to keep plunging ahead.
That's right.
And see, and here's the thing. Glory to God. Remember what happened to Joseph. He's looking to have a simple life. I just want to get married to Mary. That's it. My friends got married. My brothers got married. My uncles and aunts got married. I'm just engaged. I just want to get married, Lord. That's it. And you bring this thing, you know, Holy Ghost overshadowed her. And I got to tell people that my wife's pregnant by God. And I got to, you know what? Nah, man. No, you gotta find somebody else, Lord. I'm just gonna put it away. I'm gonna do it right, dog. I'm gonna do it right. But I'm out. I thought about that. I made my mind. I'm out. I just signed up for this. I just wanna get married. But what happens is that life threw him a curveball. Life curved off in another direction. And see, I'm not talking about people who so far you've lived a charmed life and everything you wanted have happened. God is talking about people who knows how life can throw you a curve. And I'm not talking about that curve like, you know, you was about to go to Starbucks to get coffee, but the line was long, and so you went to Dunkin' Donuts. That's not a curve. Amen. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when life really throws you for a curve, throws you for a loop. I'm talking about when you lose your job kind of curve. I'm talking about when, you know, the husband or wife of your youth leaves you, amen, and you come home and she just gone. I'm talking about that kind of guy. I'm talking about when someone dies in your life unexpectedly. I'm talking about when your house and all your possessions burn down to the ground. I'm talking about life-altering curves. Not just those little small inconveniences of life. I'm talking about when life just takes you in a direction that you didn't see coming. It's at that time, amen, you may make a decision, I'm out. Or you may just decide to keep going with the curve. Allow life to take you this way. Amen. Something traumatic happens into your life, and life wants to plunge you into a depression, and you just start going. And maybe in your mind you say, that's enough, I had it, I can't take this anymore, I made up my mind, that's it. But leave room for God to be otherwise minded. Because what God said to Joseph, many times He says to us when life takes us for a curve, the road in your life curved, and you may not have seen it coming, but I knew that thing was in your life, and I'm telling you now, you keep walking straight ahead with me. And sometimes the hardest thing to do is to keep walking straight when the road of your life takes a curve.
Amen.
Amen. To keep walking straight with God. Oh, glory to God. It's easy to walk with God when it's sunny on your side of the street. Mm-hmm. Come on, somebody. I'm talking about fair weather Christians. Amen. When it's sunny on your side of the street, it's easy to walk with God. It's easy to be praying and praising and jumping up and down and rejoicing. But what happens when life takes you on a curve that you didn't expect? See, you become minded to give it up.
Yep.
But when that happens, God is saying, don't give it up. Just leave room to be otherwise minded. Because here's the thing. I saw that curve coming in your life. Amen. When I called you to this thing, I knew that was coming. And I didn't change my mind about the destiny for your life. So you know what? I know your mind is to quit. I know your mind is to break off the engagement. I know your mind is to stop working in the ministry. I know your mind is to close down your business and go back and find a job. I know your mind is to just... I know. But I called you to this. Keep walking straight with me. Because I'm otherwise minded. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. Amen. I'm otherwise minded. And so listen, this is tucked inside the Christmas scripture. Amen. Yeah, the greater lesson is what? Jesus, the Savior of the world, is born, going to take away our sins. Amen. You can't top that. Amen.
Amen.
But underneath the tree, so to speak, nestled in the verses that God is saying to us, be otherwise minded.
Yeah.
Life is going to take you for a curve. Amen. Some things are going to happen in your life that you didn't expect. But I called you to this thing.
Amen.
And when I called you to this thing, I knew that curveball was coming. I need you to keep walking straight with me. And if you're minded to quit, I need you to be otherwise minded to continue walking. Amen.
Amen.
And glory to God, and to Joseph's credit, the scripture says, when he arose from the dream, what did he do? He married his wife.
Yep.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And then he called the name of their son, Jesus. Amen. So he allowed himself to be otherwise minded too. Amen?
Amen.
All right, the last thing I want to do, I want to go back to Luke real quickly. Amen. And we won't stay long here. And that's Luke chapter 2. This is probably my favorite passage of scripture. It's yours too. Amen. And this is when the angels will visit the shepherds in the field. I love this passage of scripture. Chapter 2. I just love this passage of scripture. Amen. The shepherds are abiding in the field, and the angels come and visit them. Let's look at verse number 8. And then were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Amen.
Amen.
I love that passage of scripture. Man, there's so much here that it's just wonderful. Amen. But here's the thing, and we're not going to delay the point, amen. God told us in the first instance, we read the scriptures, amen, that that we can be troubled, but don't let it lead you to fear, right? Troubled, but not afraid, because fear can contaminate your faith and just strip you of the promises of God, separate you from the promises of God. Instead, be like Mary, amen, be troubled, but realize God is with you in trouble,
mm-hmm.
amen, and that God will bring you out of trouble. Amen. If you can meditate on his promises and what he said about your situation, amen, faith will come and you can then receive the promises of God. And we just saw here in Joseph, in Matthew chapter 1, we saw there that how important it is to, make up your mind, but understand that God sometimes is otherwise minded and we have to leave room for that. And here, this is something we talked about before, but it's so important, and that is that faith moves now. And when we have a word from God, it is so important that we move now.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? That we move now. And too many times we delay, even though we believe God spoke unto us. Too many times we defer, or we seek confirmation, or we rationalize, or we wait for the perfect time. We wait for the kids to get out of the house. We wait for our money to be right. We wait for the spring to come because it's winter now. We wait for winter to come because it's summer now. We wait until we go on vacation. We wait until vacation is over. We wait. Because we got, how come we have in our mind something that belies our experience? And our mind tells us that there's a perfect time to get something done. But our experience shows us it's never a perfect time. And yet in our mind, we put off doing things until things fall into place, even though our experience tells us life never falls neatly into place.
Amen. Yeah.
why when the Bible says, be not deceived, he's talking to us, deceiving ourselves. But we wait. We have a word from God, and we wait. We wait. We wait. But we need to take the lesson from the shepherds, right? They heard the word, and they said, what? Let us now go. And see, we talked about this many times, right? Right? Hebrews 11 and 1, right? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now faith is, right? Faith is now. Now faith is. Faith is not for tomorrow. How many of you know that? Your faith is not for tomorrow. Your faith wasn't about what you did yesterday or last week. Your faith is for today.
Amen. Amen.
Now faith is.
Now faith is.
Right? Now faith is. And so that's how we have to operate. And we when God tells us something, I'm telling you, oh glory to God, we have to learn how to move more quickly. We have to learn how to move more quickly. Do you remember when the spies came back in Numbers chapter 14 after they went to see the promised land? And how Joshua and Caleb had the good report and 10 spies had the bad report?
Yeah.
And then how God pronounced judgment on them? That's it? Your carcass is going to fall in the wilderness? I'm tired of you folk. Only those 20 years old and younger are going to get in. You're not getting in. They woke up the next morning and go, oh, no, Moses, we're going now. We're going now. And Moses said to them, don't you dare go up, because God's not going up with you. The time for you to go up was when God was speaking to you yesterday. But God's not with you today. Don't you dare go up, because God's not going up with you. No, we're going up. And they went up to fight the Amalekites, and the scripture said that the Amalekites discomfited them. But if you read it in another version, it says that the Amalekites beat them back.
Yes.
Why? Because, listen, please understand something. There's an anointing in obedience.
Amen.
See, many times we got to understand, delayed obedience can be disobedience. God told me to do something today. I wait until next week to do it. But the anointing for me to do it was present today. Next week, that anointing to do it ain't there. That's what happened to the children of Israel. The anointing to beat the Amalekites was there when God said, go up there. When Caleb said, let us go up there once. And they said, no, we're grasshoppers. And God said, okay, fine. Anointing gone. They find out now they're in trouble. We're going to go up now, God. We're going to go. Moses, don't go up. Now we're going. They go up. No anointing.
Yep.
They get their butts beat.
Yep.
Amen. Mm-hmm. We have to understand. There's a time. Listen, when the word of God comes to us, we need to understand. We need to move in that word. Now watch this. Unless God tells you that there's a time for you to do it, say, don't do it now, but do it right. Unless God puts a delay on it, don't you put a delay on it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let us now go. And do you know that as people of God, we're supposed to take after God? Right? Be imitators of God as dear children. God said, be holy, for I am holy. We have to take after the character of God. God is holy, we should be holy. God is truthful, he's not a man that we should lie. We should be truthful, and we shouldn't lie. Amen?
Amen.
God is merciful, we should be merciful. God is compassionate, we should be compassionate. God is forgiving, we should be forgiving.
Amen.
God is working all the time. Jesus said, my Father is always working. God is working, we should be working. Doesn't mean you can't take vacation. Don't get upset. But you should always be doing something for the kingdom of God. Amen? We should take after God. But watch this. And God bless. God blesses in so many ways. You remember when Moses went to God, when God told him, go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And Moses said, well, wait a minute, Lord. When I go in and I tell them that you told me that I'm supposed to go to Pharaoh, who should I say sent me? Remember he said that? And God said, I am that I am. You tell them that I am sent you. I am. That's a powerful word, David. Powerful name. I am. Jesus told the Pharisees in John chapter 8, they got so mad at him, they were arguing back and forth, and Jesus said to them finally, he said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. And they got so mad. They said, you ain't even 50 years old, and you tell me Abraham saw you? And Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. You remember that? They got so mad, they wanted to stone him, because they knew something. For him to say, I am, he was declaring himself as God. Right? I am. That's God's name. I am. We should take after God in all kinds of ways, and I think even just grammatically looking at his name, what is his name? His name is I am. It's not I will, it's not I did. It's I am. And too many times, we act as if our character is I will. You know what we got in our life? We got too many other things in our life. We got them in our garage. We got them in the junk drawer in the kitchen. We got them in the sock drawer. We got them all over the place. They're in your pantry. They're in your glove box. You know what you got in there? Something called I'm gonna's. We got them all over the place. They're all over our life. Sometimes you got them, they're all over your carpet. I'm gonna's. You know what you're doing? God tell you to do something, and you go, I'm gonna go back to school. I'm gonna get back into the gym. I'm gonna start the business. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna go to bed early. I'm gonna read some more. I'm gonna pray more. I'm gonna get up early. I'm gonna go to bed early. We got all these things. How many I'm gonna you have in your life right now? How many things right now you are going to do? God had already told you to do it. You told people God told you to do it, and you're still not doing it because you're gonna do it. I'm gonna. But God's not an I will God. God is an I am God, which means God is saying, listen, right here, right now, I'm God. I'm moving. I'm powerful. Not I'm going to be. Not I was. I am. And I believe we have to operate in the spirit of I am. And when God gives you a word, you don't say, I'm going to do it. You say, I am doing it. I am back in the gym. I am in school. I am operating my business. I am reading more. I am praying more. That's faith. Faith is not I'm gonna. Can you imagine these shepherds in the field? They had every reason after the angels leave. When did the angels come? At night. It's late. If one of our cousins was with the shepherds, this is how it would have happened. There'd have been some faithful shepherds that said, let us now go into Bethlehem and see this thing that the angels told us is come to pass. And if one of our cousins was there, they'd go, well, it's late. I'm tired. Let's go in the morning. One of our cousins was there. Not you. But one of our cousins. You know how our cousins are. It's late. I'm tired. We've been out here abiding the field all night. It's cold. I was sleeping good till the angels came. I'm going back to sleep. But the angels didn't do that. They went right away. And the scripture said they came with haste. They came with haste. And they saw what God has spoken unto them. And I believe that's something for us to keep in mind, right? When God speaks to you, don't put it off. Amen? Do now what God has told you to do. If there's something on your heart right now that God has spoken unto you, you haven't done it yet, I believe a grace is being released for you for your and my delay. But right now, God is saying to you, get going. Amen? Get moving. And it's not always going to be perfect, amen. It's not always going to be a perfect time. I was sharing with Brother Les that I'm about to move my office in the midst of my busiest season, in the midst of Christmas. It's not the best time. Amen. I've been traveling like who knows what, right after Thanksgiving, this week, next week, and the week after that, I'm going to be on the road. And God, and I went to look at a place, and I go, I'm looking for an office. It would have been great if I would have found it in the middle of the summer, the lazy, hazy days of summer. But I didn't find it until the middle of the fall, and then things are taking so long, so then they want to sign the lease the day before Thanksgiving. I got 25 people coming to my house tomorrow, and you want me to go sign the lease. You know what I did? I said, shh. I ain't waiting for it to be perfect. But when I went to look at the place, this is what happened. I looked at the place, I liked it. But I prayed to God. I said, God, can I take that place? And I believe he said this in my spirit. He said, you can take it if you want it. I said, I want it. He said, okay. So I took it. But if God is going to allow me to take it, he's not going to let me take it and go, you can take it if you want it. You know you're busy. You know you got all the things to do. You know it ain't going to work. That's not how God works. So guess what? I took it in faith, believing that even though it's not the perfect time and everything's not fitting neatly, if God said I can do it now, I'm doing it now, and I believe the anointing and the favor and the power and everything I need is going to be available to me right now to get it done.
Amen.
Amen? I ain't waiting for some perfect time. There are some people who are waiting for the perfect time, and you know what? Their ship has sailed. Mm-hmm. And that thing that was right in their grasp is never going to come back into their life again. Because their time to do it was right then and there. Don't let that happen to you, amen? If God speaks to you, move in faith now.
Amen.
Those lepers said to Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. Go show myself to the priest. I got leprosy. You only show yourself to the priest when your leprosy clears up and he can pronounce you clean. But what did the scripture say? The leper didn't say, okay, I'll show myself to the priest after I get clean. He said, go show yourself to the priest. Guess what? They started walking toward the priest. And what did the scripture said? And as they went, they were cleansed. They didn't wait to be cleansed. They didn't wait for it to be perfect to then go show themselves to the priest. Who's going to roll away the stone for it? Well, until we find out, I'm just staying right here. That's not what the women said. They said, who's going to go away the stone? But they kept going. Not convenient, but guess what? The power of God was there because they continued walking in obedience. Listen, we need to move. What is it that God has put on your heart to do? Are you doing it? Not gonna. Are you doing it? It's so quiet, Lord, I believe that's the sound of conviction. Because you know, when you convicted, you I take the silence as the sound of conviction, Lord. But Lord, help us. Amen?
Amen.
Lord, help us to move in more deliberate obedience. Amen.
Amen.
So that we can walk in the anointing of God. Some people say you shouldn't haste. I'm not saying you should rush. Amen. You shouldn't rush into things. I'm not saying that. But when God has spoken something to you and he hasn't put the brakes on you doing it, then what's your reason, my reason, our reason not to be doing it right now?
Amen.
Amen. What's the reason? Amen. I'm going to leave you with this. The psalmist said in Psalm 119 and 60, he said, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Right? I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. When you and I get a word from the Lord, if he doesn't delay us in the doing of it, then we should delay ourselves in the doing of it. Amen?
Amen.
Our God is called the great I am, not I will. And so don't you operate in the spirit of I will when you serve the great I am. Amen?
Amen.
Let you say, I am doing what God told me to do. Amen.
Amen.
And so we praise God for that. Amen. And so listen, in the scriptures today we read about the forerunner of Jesus Christ, the birth of John the Baptist. Praise God for that. The promise of the birth of the Son of God. Amen. We're going to give birth to the Son of the Highest. His kingdom shall never end. The Savior of the world is going to be born. Going to take away the sins of the world. He's going to be with us. He's Emmanuel, God with us all the time. And we're going to have peace and good earth on earth and goodwill toward men. Those are good scriptures. I suggest you're just going to read it for that.
Mm-hmm.
That's
Amen.
Good stuff right there. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
But in those scriptures, we saw some things today that God just sort of pulled out for us, some presence from heaven. Amen. To to encourage us even more. Amen. And that is, you know, to just realize that God is speaking unto us and we're doubly blessed. Amen. And He's telling us, be troubled, but you don't have to be afraid. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
I may have some trouble in my life, but one thing, I don't need to be afraid, but God with me in this thing.
Amen.
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 And I'm going to leave room. I made up my mind to do something, but I'm going to leave room for God to tell me to go in another direction, especially when life throws me for a curveball. And I've been thrown for some curveballs in my life just like you. There's some stuff that's happening in your life, you didn't see it coming. But keep walking straight with God, even though the road of your life turns. Amen. Then lastly, amen, move quickly in faith. When God speaks something to you, have the faith to say, I'm doing it. Amen.
Amen.
And even if nobody around you believes you, you don't need other people to be in agreement with you before you walk in agreement with God.
Amen.
Amen. Because that's something people can't see because God didn't tell them. He told you. So we're encouraged to go forward in it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So praise God. I think we put these things in the place. I mean, we will be in a position to see some things in our life and to do what God is calling us to do. Amen. Let's rest on our feet and pray today. Amen. Praising God. Thanking God. Hallelujah. For His Word. Amen. For His Son. And for the gifts He's given unto us through the Scriptures. Father, we bless You today. And we just thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank You, God, for Your Son. We thank You, God, that He is the Savior of the world, that He has taken away our sins,
yes,
that we are cleansed, that we are forgiven, and that we have eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. We bless You for that. And we thank You, God, that as we read through the Christmas scriptures today, or what we call Christmas scriptures, we thank You, God, for just reminding us of Your awesome work, Your awesome promise, and how You, oh God, just work in the lives of ordinary people,
yes,
and do
Lord,
extraordinary,
yes, God,
things. And Father, as we looked at ordinary Zachariah and Elizabeth, ordinary Joseph and Mary, ordinary shepherds, we saw an extraordinary God moving,
yes,
with power and might and majesty. But we also, God, was treated today. We were treated today to Your wisdom, oh God.
Yes.
And Father God, how You spoke unto us, oh God. And Father, we just thank You for the words of encouragement, the words of faith, the words of guidance You have given us. Now, Father, we ask You, oh God, to help us by Your Spirit,
yes,
to walk it out in our lives. Father, we didn't come here for form and fashion just to hear something and say, oh, that was good. Father, we're coming here because our lives depend,
yes,
upon it, oh,
yes,
God. Father, we're serious about our walk with God, and we believe that You have something,
yes,
for us, and You've given it to us today. Now, Father, let us honor You by walking it out. We need Your help to do it, and we thank You for the presence of the Holy Ghost, who will lead us and guide us into the truth and help us walk it out, that the truth that's been revealed to us,
yes,
might make us free. Father, we bless You, and we thank You for all that You've done, all that You're doing, and by faith we give You the praise for all that You're going to do. We lift You up and we magnify You. In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.